Arrow Acres is a small-batch, family-run, holistic skincare and cosmetic company. They're committed to quality ingredients that are nourishing for their family and ours. From tallow balms to soap, sunscreen, lip balms, and more, their inventory is always expanding and growing with their curiosity and experimenting. Arrow Acres is a group of three girls from our church, and they started making tallow balms and have expanded to a bunch of different things. I asked if it would be okay if we could do a giveaway on the Fruitful and Fearless podcast for the month of August, and they agreed. So I'm so excited to get to share this company with you guys because I love what they're doing. I love it that it's a family that's working together to make really quality products with safe and great ingredients. Our family has used a lot of their things, and I've loved everything that I used. I highly recommend the sunscreen. We used it when we went to the beach. It's just tallow and zinc oxide. So if you need a mineral sunscreen, we don't use sunscreen very often, but when we go to the beach or somewhere we're going to be in the sun all day, then I would like to use a mineral sunscreen with safe ingredients, and this is one of those. So I definitely recommend that. I love their tallow. I use it for a facial moisturizer. I've used their lip balm. I love that. I just got their bug spray this morning and their, what else did I buy? The bug spray and the scrub. So I love all their stuff. So I recommend them to you because I love to use them for my family, and I thought that you guys would like them as well. So if you go to the Fruitful and Fearless Instagram, you'll see a post about the giveaway for the month of August with all the instructions on how to enter that. So you'll follow Arrow Acres Homestead, follow us, share, you know, the normal giveaway type stuff. And then at the end of August, I'll announce the winner. They're giving away a bar of their summer flower soap, some lavender tallow balm, the lip balm, and a bug spray. So you'll definitely want to check them out. Arrow Acres Homestead. Thank you for sponsoring the Fruitful and Fearless podcast this month. If there's anyone else out there that would like to be a sponsor for a month, just reach out to me either on my personal Instagram or the Fruitful and Fearless Instagram for more information. Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello, and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. My name is Jordan Sparks, and I'm here again with my husband.
Hey, hey.
Jared Sparks.
That's right.
We're here to finish up our series that we've been doing on the biblical womanhood action words. We've done
worship, work, help, submit,
fear nothing, and today we are finishing up with love. It's our very last one and arguably one of the most important ones.
Well, the bookends for both men and women are worship and love. So men and women are never not worshipers. We worship Creator over creation. God has created rights over us, dictates to us what manhood and womanhood looks like, and then the back end of all this is love, because we are never not going to need love. We love sacrificially, we experience the love of God in Christ Jesus.
Well, yeah, and we're never not loving. We're either loving rightly or loving wrongly with idolatry in our hearts, right?
Yeah.
Loving the wrong things.
Right.
How about I start out with 1 Corinthians 13?
Okay.
If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And then it goes on. So I mean, I could read more things about love. All other things will pass away, but love never ends.
So love's pretty important.
Love is very important. And I think sometimes in Christian families, it can happen where you are trying to do all the right things. You're doing family worship. You're disciplining as you ought to. You get caught up in all the little side ventures. But you're like, am I loving?
Have I forgotten my first love?
Have I forgotten why I'm doing this? Am I shooting the arrow and completely missing the target? Am I doing these things out of a wrong motivation and a wrong heart, or am I doing them because I love God and I love my family? And sometimes we get to doing them for wrong motivation, and that is a danger that we can fall into. And I think that's something that Christian mothers, especially, everyone, but because I'm a Christian mother, that's kind of the tendency that I find myself in sometimes that I have to be pulled back from, is we want to do these right things, but you can get caught up in the wrong motivation for the right things.
Yeah. I think that's exactly what happened with Ephesus. So they're commended for their doctrine. They're commended for not putting up with false teaching. But the one way that Jesus corrects them is that they forgot their first love. And if you go back to see what was going on in the church of Ephesus, they were living out good works out of appreciation for God's grace to them. And so when they're to repent and do the things they did at the beginning, it was the simple love of God and others that was an overflow of God's grace to them. And so I think even when we talk about love in its general form for both men and women, we have to understand that Christian love is unique compared to non-Christian love, because we have the understanding of what God did for us in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So the Christian understands sacrificial love, substitutionary atonement. They understand the specific and special love in God's sovereign grace, where God has loved us particularly as his bride. And that's different than the general love that he has for the world. He has loved us specially and uniquely. So we have this foundation as Christians for love, love towards God and love to others, because of God's grace to us. God has given his grace on us lavishly, and it's unmerited. We haven't done anything to earn it. God has just been gracious to us. And so from that love, this is how God shows his love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We have this foundation that nobody else has in the world. And then it's going to come out in masculine and feminine ways. So a man is going to be loving in a particular way, and a woman is going to be loving in a particular way. So Titus 2 brings us up where women are called to aim their love in a domestic manner, where men are as well, but men are specifically called to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. So this is the masculine sacrificial love. And then ladies, on the flip side of that, Titus chapter 2, are to learn from older women how domestic love works, how to love their husband and their children. I think it's an important thing to note is that love is gendered as well, that love is going to be demonstrated in masculine and feminine ways.
I love thinking about the love of God and how it should motivate us to a right kind of love for our families, and how Christ has loved us so sacrificially, so freely, that we in turn can pour this kind of love out to our families. And it should motivate us in our duties as a wife and as a mother, because we have this amazing love from Christ. We can now pour out that type of love on our families, not because they're doing the perfect things and we just...
Well, wait a minute. I'm really easy and always easy to love,
right,
and
gracious
and kind, right?
A lot of the time. But not because they perfectly deserve our love or our...
This is unconditional.
Yeah, it's unconditional.
I mean, well, the condition is we're each other's family, but it's unconditional in the sense that God has put us together, so there's without question a commitment to love each other.
Right. And then also thinking about the things that we have to... Because love comes out our hands and our mouth, and the things that we do and the things that we say, right? So love is not just like in the air, but it's love is what love is an action word.
Yeah, I don't want to be too goofy on this, but do you remember the DC Talk song, Love is a Verb? Tell me, haven't you heard?
I don't know that song.
Love is an action. Okay.
Okay.
Well,
that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. DC Talk was right. Love is an action word.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I'm combining
Schoolhouse Rock and DC Talk
with maybe the song that you're thinking of, this DC Talk, but verb is an action word.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's DC Talk, but come to think of it, it might be Schoolhouse Rock, one of the two.
And that's verb.
Oh my.
But anyway.
I'm an action word.
Yeah, but no. Love, it looks like something and it feels like something and it sounds like something. It's not... Yeah, like I said, it's not just in the air and it's not just like magical, but it's a thing that we do and say.
Joyful deference. So when we think about love and sacrifice, when we talk about sacrificial love towards one another, so when a husband is to lay down his life for his wife, it should be joyful sacrifice, not sorrowful sacrifice. Like this is the joy that was set before him. Jesus endured even the cross. He wasn't sorry about his sacrifice for us.
Yeah.
In the sense that he was a Debbie Downer or anything like that. We have a joyful opportunity to sacrifice for each other.
Right. And that's what I was going back with the 1 Corinthians 13. we can be doing all these right things. We can be homeschooling our kids. We can be doing the right things. But if it's not out of love, mm-hmm. this like joyful love, it's why are we doing it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so back to Ephesians, those right things. When it comes to a Christian home, your Christian home, and Doug and Nancy, we're always appealing to them because they're honestly the most helpful on some of these issues. You don't want children to just know the standard and walk in the standard. You want them to love the standard. Mm-hmm. And that comes, generally speaking, God using a dad and mom that love the standard as well. They're not just going through the motions. They're not just reading the catechism questions or doing family worship or doing all the things you're supposed to do because by golly, that's what I'm supposed to do. But they're living a genuine life from the inside out, and they're loving their life. They're loving God and the people that God has put in the closest proximity to them and their family. They're loving them. And it's real. And that's the thing is, you know, real love from forced love. There's real love that happens in the context of a home that loves God, and out of an overflow of that, just loves each other.
And sometimes love in a real genuine and beautiful way means slowing down from the things around you that take up so much of your time. Slow down and look your kids in the eyes. Slow down, spend time with your husband. Slow down and be interested in the things that they are interested in and make special moments together. So, that means that the people in your home are more important than the things that you need to get done. And just being reminded of that on a daily basis of like, how can I show love to them? And sometimes it means slowing down.
Okay, here's a question I have for you. And I'm going to put you on the spot. Titus 2, the older women have to train the younger women in loving their husbands and children. So why do you think the specific discipleship process of loving husband and children is so critical in the context of the local church? Why is that the central focus? You know, like Paul tells the young men to be self-controlled, and that's like basically all he tells the young men to do. But with ladies, there's some sort of training process. It seems like there seems to be a difficulty in learning how do we demonstrate love in the home mm-hmm. to a husband and a child, so much so that the older women have to say, okay, here's how you do this. Here's how you practically love mm-hmm. your husband and your children. Why do you think that command is there?
Because it's hard sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's not always natural, and it's not always something that like you have a baby and suddenly you just know what to do. Of course, some things do kind of come naturally, but it's like your fourth baby, you know a little more what to do than with your first baby and things like that. Because it's difficult, and because we need help with it, and because we're selfish and we want to love ourselves more than we love our husband and children. So we need people to come alongside of us and be like, hey, this is how you do this. This is how you do that. This is how you take care of your family. This is skills that you need that will help you in taking care of your family.
And isn't that so counter from the message that every single woman gets from toddler age all the way up till, I mean, just women as a whole, no matter how old you are, which is put yourself first. That message of loving other people. It's like, okay, I'll love them if they let me back, or I'll love them with all these different conditions put on it. And the path of feminine love in the household isn't about, well, I'll do this if they do this.
Right. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Love is about laying down your life 9 out of 10 times. Mm-hmm. even in the small, slow down and look the child in the eye and be interested in what they're interested in, mm-hmm. even though it's a rock that you've seen many times. like be interested in the things that they are interested in, even though you may not like Nintendo or whatever it is, you know? Be interested in them, and that is a part of laying down your life. Laying down your life for someone else, caring about what they care about.
Well, one of the things I've learned from you recently, I've been watching you. Our kids have a very restricted amount of time that they get on a Nintendo. Not every day. They don't get to play every day. But one of the things I've noticed is that you have started to play Nintendo with them when they get to play, and the kids love it. So I started thinking, boy, I've never been a video game guy, but I started playing with them the last 2 days, actually. I played, mm-hmm. played with them. And it's been really fun, and they've really enjoyed it.
Well, I have talked to them about it many times, and I've told them, like, hey, this is
Mario Kart, so it's not like shoot 'em up and kill people game or something.
This is a neutral thing. It's like food.
Food, sex,
like,
alcohol.
Yeah, food, sex, alcohol. We'll use those examples. It's things that can be used in a really amazing way, or it's something that can be abused and be addictive to you or be dangerous for you even. So we want, while you're in our home, for you to learn how to use this properly.
Without it controlling you.
Yeah, with you being the master over it and it not being the master over you. In their time that they get to play, I have started to play with them sometimes. Well, and be excited about it and spend time with them and let them know I love them. It's a way... It's like when you are interested in something that I'm making. Mm-hmm. It's not because you're probably that genuinely interested, but because you are interested in me. Mm-hmm. And it's the same when you tell me about your hunting stuff. Mm-hmm. Not actually that interested. but I'm interested in you.
But you did. Hold on. I'm going to hold your feet to the fire because you just told me yesterday that you will go at least one time with me.
That doesn't mean I'm genuinely interested. You're going to get all camoed up. It means I like you. And you're going to
sit in the stand with me.
I will.
And we're going to talk, and you'll put your head on my shoulder.
Yeah.
And we'll just be quiet and just whisper back and forth and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It'll be fun.
And you'll shoot a deer, and mm-hmm. then we'll fill the freezer, and I'll like that. Mm-hmm. But anyways, yeah, sometimes love is laying down your life for others, and the amazing thing about laying down your life for others is God blesses your life whenever you die to yourself.
Yes, and it's awesome because your things change. Like things that used to be sacrificial, things that started off years ago as something like, you know, and you get this in parenting, where when you begin to give way to whatever it may be in your life or your family, you start to be less selfish. And mm-hmm. things that used to be like, man, that was really hard for me to do, now you're like, I really enjoy this. Not even like zeros, there's nothing there that's sacrificial at all. I just really enjoy this, whatever it may be. And that grows over time, where you just get a palate for, instead of just getting your own way on everything, you're able to just say, I love you. We don't have to get my way on stuff. Like, what do you want to do?
Yeah, I love the illustration of the dead seed mm-hmm. that goes into the ground and dies, mm-hmm. is buried, mm-hmm. and up shoots forth life from that dead seed, what looks like to be a dead seed and like a burial and resurrection of mm-hmm. dying to yourself. But yeah, it's... loving others in the way that Christ has loved us, using that as an example to lay down our life and care for and love others, and trusting that God brings amazing fruit in our own souls mm-hmm. through this.
And you know, this is the ending the series on love is critical because, I mean, for the rest of your life, don't you want to be a loving person? Mm-hmm. You want to be loved by others. You want to recognize that you're loved by God, obviously, most important. You want to love God and love others. I mean, this is the greatest commandment. So it's not like we're getting away from love ever in our life. Right. And so the critical component of understanding you're loved by God, and then out of that, you just love people. And that, if, as a woman, you love people as a woman. And as a man, you love people as a man, the way God has called you to love them. And sometimes that can be a difficult thing to figure out. Okay, how do I love my family in a way that is honoring to them and in the best way I possibly can? But you figure it out. And for ladies, you get trained by other ladies. You get trained by women in your church, specifically, who are older. And you hear, okay, figure out how they like their pancakes and, right. you know, love them by making their pancakes. And they train you in how to practically demonstrate love in the context of a home. Mm-hmm. And then that ends up being passed on, where you're growing and you hear that your kids are now making their pancakes the way their kids like it, and they care about the small details mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. a loving home. And it's love is a thing that's never going away, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cultivate sweetness in your home, like sweet things, like making the pancakes that the kid likes. The sweetness, like Valor loves chai tea lattes. He's on like a real chai tea latte kick right now. And he just absolutely is into them. And he's drank one like every morning. So I'm like making the chai tea concentrate and like making him his raw milk chai tea lattes. And he's so bougie. But yeah, it just cultivate a sweetness like that. Like just sweet things that you can have with that kid. And sweet things that you can have with your husband. And is God not like that with us?
Yeah,
is God not so kind and generous and personal with us? And again, back to God shows his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah, not past tense.
Yeah, the present tense. If you're wondering if God loves you, look to the cross, because God shows his love for us, and mm-hmm. that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Like, even in our rebellion, Christ died for us. And that's how you can know for sure today that God loves you. And you can bask in that and glory in that and be so thankful for that Christ died for you. Mm-hmm. And then look into the millions and millions and millions of sweetnesses that God has showed you your entire life.
Yeah, it's really good.
I think a child is coming. All right. I think that is it for the series. Thank you for listening to this. I hope that it was helpful for you all. A couple questions to finish this off. Has there been a time in your life that you have questioned God's love for you? And how can you be sure today that God loves you? What are some small ways that you can show your family and husband that you love them?
Hey everyone, we want to thank you so much for listening to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast and continuing to come back. You guys have certainly been an encouragement to us, and we hope we've been an encouragement to you as well. We want to continue this work, and we need your help to do that.
If you'd head over to the Fruitful and Fearless website, it's just fruitfulandfearless.com. You can find memberships there that are different tiers that contain different benefits to you as well. If you want to just support us for the heck of it because you're enjoying the show, that's always a blessing as well. But we try to make it even more worth it for you with recipes, groups for homeschooling and cooking, baking, natural health. We try to put as many resources on there as we can. But thank you for your support. It greatly helps our family.